Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on Hump Day. Yeah, so you are halfway to the weekend, my friends, and we heard the camel play at the beginning of the show, which means that the signal is given now to bring in the Grand Council at the beginning of third hour. So we got a substitute right now for us. The Dale Jackson guy is not here today. So sitting in studio with me, often known as the Secretary of Common Sense, the polished pundit of publishing, that would be one Scott Buttram is here. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Always good when you're in studio, man. I get a kick out of it. All right. Hey, by turning my way southward, let me just go ahead and say from FM Talk 106.5, host of the Jeff Poor Show. Oh, by the way, 1819 News' editor-in-chief does stuff with Breitbart, Lanyap, and whatever else. That would be Jeff Poor. Are you there?
I am present.
You are indeed. All right. I call a quorum. Hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da! All right, I'm going to go ahead and say, honored guest, Secretary of Common Defense or Common Sense, we turn to you for the first question. What do you got?
My question is for both of you. How shocked were you to see that Caroline Dobson got the BCA endorsement?
Oh, Jeff, you can take it first if you want to. Caroline Dobson, who ran for Congress, just got the BCA endorsement for Secretary of State. Go ahead.
No, and not shocked at all. But I'm going to tell you, I was talking to a well-placed Politico last evening, and there's a notion, there's a sentiment, they think that, and I disagree with this wholeheartedly, that Andrew Sorrell will drop out of this race, and she will be anointed Secretary of State. I don't think that's the case at all. That's, they just don't know him that well, but they're sort of a permanent Montgomery thinks that.
If there were anybody else.
Yeah, that doesn't feel like part of his DNA. I would actually be shocked if that happened, to be honest with you. I think that Andrew Sorrell is the kind of guy who's going to stay in the mix. And, you know, he's got his own pack, and he's got the ability to do that. He could fund his own race, if I understand correctly. But the bottom line, Caroline Dobson is not a bad candidate. I don't mind her. But the BCA endorsing her clearly indicates to me that they're – I think it was less about them loving Caroline Dobson, more about the fact that they're worried about Andrew Sorrell. And I don't know what they think he's going to go jimmy up that scares the BCA, the Business Council of Alabama. Do you, Jeff?
It might be an investment for the future. They want to build her up, and they want to make her an ally for the future. He's got a lot of political upside, maybe.
Ah, okay. So you think this is a long-term investment.
There are a lot of people that see her as the next Katie Britt. The difference is Katie Britt was very organic. This feels a lot more forced. I think she's a good person, but it just feels a little more forced.
Organic. That's a great way of putting it. It was not hard at all to believe that Katie Britt was going to be where she is right now. Caroline Dobson is having a scratch and claw. She already lost one race.
Right.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Jeff Rowe, what you got for the next question, buddy?
How would we feel? And this was brought up on my radio show. We're watching this D.C. crackdown by the Trump administration, and I know that the District of Columbia has a different set of circumstances, different rules they have to live under because it's constitutional, but how would we feel if the Trump administration looked at other cities, including Birmingham or Montgomery, and did something similar?
Well, since the state legislature almost did it to Birmingham last year, I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. You're right. They are an entirely different batch of the law. 1973, they passed the D.C. Home Rule Act. And so that's when D.C. finally got some measure of self-governance. They've only had it for 50 years, and they've been botching it ever since. But I look at this and think, if you have to send the National Guard out to L.A. to stop riots because the mayor won't do it, if you have to go into D.C. and bring federal law enforcement and National Guard because the mayor won't do it, if you have to go to Chicago one day or if you have to go to Birmingham, as long as these are temporary assertions of, you know, like putting a surge of law enforcement on the street, I don't mind, especially if the locals, and by the way, local law enforcement in D.C. is applauding this effort. They are so glad to have the help. So I think what you have to look at is not how, you know, pundits might feel. It's going to be how do the citizens and the local law enforcement feel about it. And right now, they love it. What do you think, man?
Well, I'm not so sure Trump had done a little of that already. You know, we've talked about Birmingham and the crime, and suddenly it's improving dramatically. And is this really the Birmingham police suddenly finding themselves and homicide rates falling 50%? Or are they getting some help? I've been told that they are getting significant state and federal help.
Yeah.
In fact, I didn't watch the mayoral debate for the city of Birmingham last night, but I am told that one of the candidates was pretty pointed about it, the state taking over law enforcement in the city of Birmingham. And I don't think there was a whole lot of pushback. So I'm not sure it hasn't happened at some level. Now, the National Guard showing up in uniform to support law enforcement, they don't need a map around Birmingham. They've been here before.
They know their way around.
They know their way around.
Yeah, they just get the box out and refresh.
That's right. The names have changed, but nothing
well,
else has.
Since Wallace has left, they have finished the interstates in Birmingham.
That is true. All right, your own question, though, Jeff. What do you think? How would you, as a news guy in Alabama, feel about it?
I mean, as a news guy, if it deteriorates, Birmingham is bad, but it's not D.C. bad. I will first say that. But I guess my hope would be that it never got to that, because you're right, Scott. I mean, I think like other cities will see what's going on in D.C. and they don't want that happening to them.
Right. Yeah.
So they had to do their politics, and they had to pretend to be outraged, and This cannot stand. This authoritarian, orange-haired man cannot do this. But deep down, they're very pro, I think, getting federal help.
I think they are too.
I do too.
And I'll be honest with you. I grew up in West Birmingham. A lot of my growing up, my grandparents lived in Inslee, Wylam, all that area that you just don't go walk around at night anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, the neighborhood where I ran barefooted with my cousins is not a place where I would walk in the daytime now.
Same.
And it's a crying shame, but nonetheless, this is a temporary surge, but it's also working. All right, let me do one more question before we hit the break time. So the U.S. Senate race for Alabama. So we got a poll that came out recently. I think this was a BCA Signal poll, if I'm not mistaken. And right now, Steve Marshall, as expected, is polling the highest, somewhere around 23-25%. Jared Hudson down around 3%. Barry Moore was somewhere around 9%. And they even polled Bruce Pearl, who's not even in the race, and he had like second highest at 13.9. Here's my question for you. Are we looking at a runoff? And we are a long way out, and I know it. But are we looking right now at a field that has three pretty attractive candidates right now? And name ID is still struggling for Jared Hudson, and Barry Moore is only known in part of the state, really. But are we looking at a potential runoff, or can Steve Marshall pull ahead that far that he doesn't have to worry about it? You first, Jeff.
No, absolutely going to have a runoff. There'll be more candidates in, a lot of pretenders. There's some people with some money to spend. They'll take some votes. It's hard for me to see Steve Marshall getting the 50% plus one under these circumstances.
All right. What do you think?
I agree. I think the numbers will probably force a runoff. I do think Marshall has the inside track if he can hold it. But like Jeff said, we're going to see more candidates. You never know how these things are going to play out. When we looked at Britt, Brooks, and the military guy.
Jared Hudson?
That ran against Katie
Mike
Britt.
Durant.
Oh, Mike Durant, yeah.
You know, as that race went along, I think all three candidates at one point were pretty much in the lead.
Yeah, I think Mike Durant was up at one point, and then Mo Brooks was strong and had the Trump endorsement, and then all of a sudden Katie Britt surges.
Yeah, and in the end, it was a pretty decisive victory by Britt. I would not have predicted that even 2 months out. So.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, I said it earlier on the show, a week is a lifetime in politics.
So
we got a lot of weeks between now and the primary, but right now – All right, let me quickly. I got about 45 seconds. You got any names out there for these people you think are still going to jump in the race, Jeff?
No, there's a bunch of people flirting with it. I don't think it's anybody serious or anybody we've heard of that's a household name in Alabama. But, I mean, it could be a former lawmaker or something like that that will get in, maybe a vanity run, have maybe a, you know, $50,000 to spend, but they'll go to everything or whatever. It won't be like a John Merrill or somebody like that of that stature.
Will it be a calculated spoiler or somebody who really thinks they can do it?
Somebody who wants to show their mom they became something important by being on a ballot, I guess.
Wow, there's a reason to run. Hey, Mom, watch the news. All right, we're taking a break. That's round one of the Grand Council. We're sitting here with Jeff Poor and Scotty Buttram in studio, and just little old me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we're back for round two of the Grand Council with Scott Buttram and Jeff Poor and little old me. So I'm going round two. First question, Scott Buttram, what do you have?
Getting away from politics a little bit, but not much, since I'm on the radio with two of my friends from Auburn, and I don't have many friends from Auburn, so I'll throw this out. Read a story in 1819 News today that I found encouraging, but my question to you guys is, am I overconfident or overly joyed about a decision by Auburn to phase out the test optional admissions, which I think was something we were going to see that was going to lead to the further degradation of our universities, where we're ignoring curriculum and worried more about woke, and anybody can come to college these days. I was really proud to see Auburn say, we're not playing that game anymore. Go take your SAT, go take your ACT.
Well, I think it's a combination. So for those who don't know, test optional basically means like the ACT, the SAT, Auburn was saying, we don't have to have any interest requirements. You want to go to school here, pay your money. And it was a DEI push is what it was. And Jeff, you can jump in on that if I got it wrong, but my understanding is they were literally just saying all y'all income free, and it had no standard attached to it, and now they're getting back to standards, which is the way it should
idea.
Be.
It was an idea to make it easier for minorities to attend Auburn, or be accepted to Auburn, I should say. Well, the standardized tests are race, they're not race based in a fair way, where an African American student and his upbringing and his world experiences, it really comported with him, and that was an unfair advantage too. And it was always something, along those lines, but it was really just, hey, we need to get our demographic numbers a little bit better to show that we don't hate black people, so here's what we're going to do.
Everybody can come in.
Which winds up just crushing their standards, though, because if people who come in that shouldn't be in college and then they can't pass the courses, you have to either A, lower the standards of the courses, or B, have a fail rate that nobody wants as part of their, their ledger.
Or C, and what they probably did was give out fake diplomas, pretending they've actually gained.
Been doing that in football at Auburn for years.
Hey. Well, you're a war eagle. But anyway, the bottom line is I think it was a combination of they saw the handwriting on the wall. They were being pushed towards it. The DEI move, or anti-DEI move by the Trump administration is out there. The Department of Education is hammering people on it. But the other piece of this is they also just realized it was bad form, and even culture doesn't want that anymore. Jeff, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's a good move. They needed to feel some heat on that. And, slowly Auburn got out in the left ditch, I don't know. It used to be one of the most conservative schools. It used to have a saying that there were more Baptists at Auburn University than at Baylor, a Baptist college. And it was just understood. And then, the last 20 years, they started meddling and some of these professors stuck around or whatever, and I think finally you kind of see the Auburn University is responding. They're late to the game, but University of Alabama was ahead of them on this and saying, hey, we need to knock this off.
Okay, so the Iron Bowl of DEI has now occurred.
What Jeff just said, I just want to reiterate.
Well, with a caveat here, the University of Alabama system still has UAB in it.
Right.
Which is just totally, that kills them. But
they wake up and violate state law.
But the University of Alabama system is sort of like trying to like put some distance between that. They know the legislature does not approve of this. The legislature will cut their funding. The legislature will in a politically reactionary way, do something to them punitive. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Auburn and Alabama are trying to prevent.
I agree. Well, but
Auburn was always kind of the bastion of conservatism to me. That was the institution that always kind of said, and what Jeff said, over the last 10 or 20 years, I'm going, what is going on down there? Y'all were the ones we could depend on. I was delighted to see them make the move back. But
I agree.
Shouldn't have ever gone that way to begin with.
Jeff, take the next question, man. What you got?
This is probably more for Scott than you, Senator, but does Randall Woodfin have really anything to worry about?
Well, I heard there was a debate last night. How did Wanda LaGavan do? Does she have some good soundbite moments?
Well, I've not seen the whole thing. I saw a few clips. I intend to watch the entire thing tonight. We had political forums at the Tribune. All of the candidates, as Joseph Bryant said, had their arrow sharp and were firing at the same target. So Woodfin took incoming all night, from what I understand. It's so wild when you have this many people in a race. Anything could happen. My short answer is I think Gavan can beat him. I do. I don't think Scales will be a threat, but I think Gavan, if the circumstances line up right, could definitely beat him. I've said they got 99 neighborhoods in Birmingham. Woodfin's got about six of them. She got the other 93. So I think she could win.
Wow. All right. Well,
which would be good for Montgomery.
Yeah, it would.
Don't know about Birmingham.
I don't know if the population of Birmingham can sustain that much longer. Then again, how many pairs of glasses and wigs can you wear when you're mayor? I don't know. but quick thought on that, Jeff?
Well, I would say this. I'm going to stick up for Wanda LaGavan. She's crazy and she's wrong on a lot of things. But I think she.
Stick up for her.
I am. I just kind of seeing where she comes from and knowing how the House of Representatives operates too, and you don't have a lot of courage in that chamber at all, especially from some Republican members who know that they're getting a short shrift from the leadership there. Mm. And she gets it. She will. She'll make a fool of herself, but at least she has the courage to do so, where some of her Democratic colleagues aren't willing to do that.
I've watched it firsthand. She's willing to make a fool of herself. You're right.
I think Birmingham people will. I think at this point they're looking at Woodfin going, listen, dude, you've been all talk for 10 years. We're never going to move under you.
Yeah.
It was all a little charade.
Well, they shrunk. Yeah. Under his watch, they shrunk from being the top city in the state to being the third, almost fourth.
Yeah, they'll be fourth for you.
It's been just a flight of like population right out of the city limits.
Set homicide records last year.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
In the murder capital of Alabama, they set a homicide record.
It's unbelievable. Listen, I'm not going to get my last question in because that was good dialogue. But Jeff Poore from 1819 News and FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile. Appreciate you, brother. Also, sitting right here in the studio with me, Scotty Buttram, always a pleasure to have you, my friend, from the Trustful Tribune. And thank you very much for being here.
Good to be in. Thank you.
All right. We're taking a break. We'll come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.